Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audience. Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot. You moron. You stupid bitch.
What do you think of The Mandalorian as a whole?
Okay.
Without the Star Wars aspect of it, just The Mandalorian as a show itself.
All right, so we already jumped in then. I'm Aaron Bratcher, you are Brad Rayland.
Yes.
Welcome to the Ask Backwards Filmmaking Podcast. It's not called that anymore, it's the Ask Backwards Podcast. As a whole, I don't know, I like it. Okay, I like it more than I've liked most of Star Wars, I like it more than Star Wars in general. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is such a mixed bag of, well, it's mostly bad. I like it. It does get a little, it hasn't fallen into the traps of Star Wars yet. Meaning, like, the marketability of, like, you know, like, let's cram a bunch of cute shit in here so that way kids have to buy the toys.
Yeah.
Which Baby Yoda could be kind of that, or Grogu, or Gilgert, whatever the fuck you want to call him. Like, he could be that, but he's also the plot. So, It doesn't fall into that for me. And it stays away from most of the Star Wars problems. And up until recently, which kind of got into some of the fan service, but we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. My biggest issues with the show, I think, fall into the serialization, which I think, I mean, as we know, Star Wars has always been a hearkening back to Eastern and Western culture shit. So it was always like an American swashbuckling tale with Japanese influences of, you know, samurai and stuff. So that has always been a staple of it. But now we are seeing the Western side of it where they're like, all right, we're going to do like a spaghetti Western. But at times it does feel like, even hearkening to Western TV serials, like, for instance, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they go on Lancer, you know, and it's like every week there's the new big bad and all that shit. This show hearkens to that where you have to go off on all these fucking side quests, you know, and.
Yeah.
So it feels very like that, and knowing that that's a creative choice kind of cleans it up. But at the end of the day, you run away from the plot a lot to, you know, make him – it feels like a video game a lot of the time. Like
side quest.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people were complaining about that. But honestly, I like it because it makes every episode like its own little movie with its own – structure, and you introduce new characters, and you can explore more of the universe like that, because you can see, especially the second season, it's really getting back into the main vein of Star Wars, being centered around Jedi and the Force, which I didn't really want to see. I think it'd be better if they leave the Jedi as kind of just this this kind of outside component that comes in every once in a while to make an appearance or have some relevant. Like the Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Her introduction I thought was perfect. She came in, she made a good impact. She was entertaining to watch. She was cool. She made Jedi look cooler than movies make them out to look.
And they've still kept that. I mean, like, just Jedi's work. Well, all right, Jedi's work the way they worked in the original trilogy, which was we hear about them.
But
they're all wiped out.
They're all gone. You only have the remnants of them.
Yeah. And so Jedi were always super cool. Jedi were cool up until the prequels. And then it was just like...
Yeah.
We got to see too much of them. They were way too political. They weren't that even badass.
Yeah.
And
it's all real small movements and stuff. Yeah. They're not very entertaining to watch.
They ruined... I mean, the prequels ruined Star Wars as it is. I mean, it was already... Yeah. I mean, I guess I should probably say our statement, our stance on Star Wars before we jump in.
Because we agree on
a lot of it, yeah. Episode 4, or Star Wars, the original one, A New Hope, is a mess of a movie that has pretty bad structure at parts. It feels like two different movies, especially after Obi-Wan dying, feels like the end of the movie. And then all of a sudden there's this, trench run and all that stuff, and he's flying a shuttle and an X-wing and stuff, which it's not, yeah, I mean, they set it up that he can pilot stuff, but like, bro, you're not the best fighter pilot in the whole galaxy. Like, I think there's one throwaway line that sets it up, and it's like, okay. So that movie, and then once you know behind the scenes how, you know, George Lucas is a bad director. He has never directed a good movie other than Star Wars, and then Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith is probably his best movie, because in my opinion, that is the best. Oh, American Graffiti's not bad. And all right, so like his art flicks, like THX 1138, is a fucking mess, but it's all arty, and you know, shot holds on this thing for fucking ever, and you know, he was that kind of filmmaker. And then he hangs out with Francis Ford Coppola and all that stuff, but that movie was fixed in editing, and it won all these editing awards, but I think it had like four editors, and Francis Ford Coppola was like heavily involved in it, and you can feel it with how quick cut everything is. It wasn't that way as a stylistic choice. It was, you know, they had to fucking get through. That's where the wipes came from and all that kind of shit, like in Star Wars, and you know, whoop, because right. They're like, all right, how do we get to this next scene? This is utter nonsense. Like, all right, just wipe it out. Like, so.
I did not know that.
So like a lot, that movie, it came from a very flawed place. And then we get Empire Strikes Back, not directed by George Lucas. Ivan Kershner directs that.
Which everyone likes.
And that is the best Star Wars movie. That is the only Star Wars movie that is perfect. Like, a great movie across the board. The rest all have issues. Empire Strikes Back falls into all the Star Wars pitfalls of, like, you know, the Ewoks and the commercialization. And Han Solo doesn't have shit to do. Like,
you and I actually just talked about this recently, how George Lucas made that Ewok decision. Originally, it was supposed to be, that planet was supposed to be inhabited by Chewie, Chewbacca's
Wookiees. And yeah. It was supposed to be Kashyyyk.
And that would have made so much more sense. It would have been more interesting because
he would have had personal stakes.
Right. Yeah, like it's his home. And you've seen this guy the previous two movies. You're like, what is with this massive dog character that hangs out? Well, you could have figured out where he came from, and it'd be less awkward watching little bears kill stormtroopers. Like,
so stupid. I like Return of the Jedi. I like Return of the Jedi more than fucking
A New For Hope, what reason?
A New Hope or whatever. I think a lot of that, like, dude, that ending sequence when Luke's sitting in the darkness and he's like, "And then perhaps your sister will." And he comes up and he's hacking on him.
Yeah,
that stuff is fucking perfect. And then just like he cuts off his hand, and he looks at it, you know, in the stump and. Mm-hmm. So much like good storytelling there, and it feels epic and stuff. Like, yeah, the Endor stuff gets pretty shitty, but there's also a bunch of cool stuff on Endor, like the fucking speeder bike chase through the Redwoods. That movie's got a ton of great stuff. I put Return of the Jedi right with Force Awakens, where like they're flawed movies, but they're cool and I like them. It engages me. It's an entertaining, fun movie.
We won't agree on that one.
Yeah, most people don't.
What's funny is I went to see Force Awakens with two other buddies, and the whole theater, this was on a military base, so naturally half of them are morons, maybe more than half. And every time it would show something...
We should probably explain your backstory of who you are before you go insulting the military.
Nah, fuck them. So, I was in the military, were you and everybody else who works.
Everybody else on this show was in the military, yeah.
Right, yeah. So, every time they would... And basically what made the movie is this... Working off nostalgia, right? She opens the box. There's a lightsaber. The theater erupts. All right, the unveiling of the Millennium Falcon, whatever. Everyone erupts. Like, that's what made that entire movie. It's fan service.
That's what Star Wars.
The characters weren't interesting except for the ones that you already knew. Never cared about Rey. Finn was such a putz that I couldn't relate to him, especially being in the military. You know, like. Oh, he's a garbage disposal guy. It's like, oh, Jesus. Like, they couldn't have made him
a cooler
a commando or something cool. He couldn't have been edgy. A
TIE fighter pilot.
Yeah, something. Like, nah, garbage, whatever, you know. So that movie, it was only interesting because of what came before it and what it could draw from those. And
I think structurally it is, like, story beat-wise and everything, I think it is held together really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think that movie works for me, and I think like even Rey works in that one. I think we all retroactively look back at Rey now because we've seen where it goes, and we're all like, oh my god, she's a horrible character. But in that first one, I was so intrigued with what was going on because J.J. Abrams does what he always does, which is, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions and never answer them, because that gets you in the door. and he never has pulled off a strong ending.
Right, but the only intrigue being that, like, who is she related to?
Like, think Super 8. That movie is entertaining. Like, that movie's great until you figure out what's going on, kind of. And then it starts to fall apart a little bit. That's every J.J. Abrams anything.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The intrigue is always way better than the payoff.
But, again, the mystery behind Rey, I never thought was interesting because it's always convenient how all these characters are either related or know each other.
She wasn't, I mean, and if they would have kept it up, she wasn't gonna be. I mean, like, because Rian Johnson, as much as I hate The Last Jedi because writing-wise it's just shit, it did try to do a bunch of interesting stuff. And, like, you know, it was Star Wars deconstruction in Star Wars, which you should probably not do when everybody loves Star Wars, just sucks its dick and, like, oh, Star Wars, you know, everybody loves that fan service shit. So, like, the fact that that movie kind of broke away from it and was like, no, like, Jedi aren't important. Like, I liked what it was saying, you know? The movie had some good points and had some good parts in it, but at the end of the day, that movie's a fucking mess and way too much stupid humor and if every scene goes set up, and subvert your expectations, and then you do that every single scene, by the end of the movie, I just know what you're going to do. I'm like, oh, right. You're going to do the opposite.
Right, yeah.
And that's that whole fucking movie. So, like every Star Wars movie besides one, the structure problem, bad writing, you know, whatever. But Rey didn't have – it was a subversion of expectation, but they're like, no, you're no one. And then the point of that whole movie was even the broom kid at the end, he uses the Force and grabs that broom. It was like, no, everybody can have the Force because it's a thing that surrounds all of us. You know, it's not – this doesn't have to be this bloodline lineage shit. And then the third one, J.J. Abrams, oh, no, she's a Palpatine, which that's like the worst. That third the ninth Star Wars movie, whatever it's called, Rise of Skywalker, that is the – I think that's like as bad as Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones or whatever.
Hmm.
Horrible. Stop it. So, I don't know. Yeah, Star Wars as a whole is a fucked up, flawed, stupid thing, and it gets too far into its own like the Jedi shit, which is not – that's interesting when they're not there, as we saw in the originals.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Luke comes into fucking Jabba's palace.
Yeah, and he's like, he's finally reached the pinnacle of what a Jedi can become. And so you get to see it for the first time. That's interesting. It's like, oh, this is what Jedi.
And this show carries that on.
Right.
When we saw him and he was dressed the exact same way, and it was like, okay. Oh, yeah, spoilers for Mandalorian, obviously. Well, yeah, we're way far into this.
They've probably seen it by now.
Yeah, everybody has. So this show has done a good job. My worry is it's going to get too fan service. The good thing is we got the Force-sensitive people out of here.
Right, yeah.
So now they have their own shows.
Yeah, so now that Yoda's baby Yoda, whatever his name is,
Grogu,
is taken out of the picture, we can focus more on what I want to see, and that's everybody else, which... has always been my thing with Star Wars is like I'm more interested in the background characters than the central ones.
This show does that immaculately. Like Mayweather, Bill Burr's character.
Mayfield, I think.
I thought it was Mayweather. All right, it might be Mayfield. I could be wrong.
Yeah, Mayfeld.
Okay. His name. So like that guy is fucking awesome. He did more for that stormtrooper backstory than fucking Finn ever could. And that was...
And people have talked about showing a different side of the Empire, which is really cool, because there would be some sort of reasonable ideology behind what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know? All you get is, like, Empire's bad, the Rebels are good, and this show kind of shows the contradictions of that notion.
Which was set up a little bit in, like, Rogue One
with... Yeah.
The Andor character, which he's getting his own show for whatever reason.
For whatever reason, yeah. Because I couldn't... Rogue One is an example of them getting away from the Jedi, but doing it in not effectively.
It was a bunch of forgettable characters. All fan service.
Right, yeah, the best scene is Darth Vader.
Yeah, everything...
That's the only thing anyone remembers.
Everything cool in that movie was fan service. Yeah. So, I mean, the whole plot was just fan service. You know, remember the Death Star?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in there.
And CGI characters from...
Tarkin and everything, which...
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd get away from that.
Yeah.
I feel like Star Wars is so determined to continue some sort of continuity that's already messy.
I think they're doing a good job now. And I think Mandalorian's cleaning up a lot of that shit. At the end of the day, Dave Filoni, I think that's his name. Mm-hmm. He's the biggest Star Wars nerd.
Which worries me.
His animated stuff, is widely loved.
He did all the Clone Wars stuff.
Yeah. Then again, Star Wars is widely loved, and it probably shouldn't be. His cartoon stuff is really held up high as far as what it does for the lore and everything. And so I think, I think he's got a good grasp on it, but my worry is...
Someone needs to keep him somewhat contained.
I think Jon Favreau is that guy.
Yeah.
I think Jon Favreau is kind of like, no. Like, he's still got the biggest writing credit at the end of the day.
Yes. And that brings up that idea of like an outsider coming in and bringing something, an important element to it, like J.J. Abrams did for Star Trek. He wasn't a fan of Star Trek is the word. He was a Star Wars guy.
He kind of ruined Star Trek a little bit, so.
Yeah, but I mean, you think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so like.
Reboot stuff?
Yeah. I mean, Star Trek 2007, the first one, is cool. It's fun. And it does a good way of skirting around. Oh, no.
It happened.
It still happened. This is a different timeline. It's the Kelvin timeline. Cool. And then as soon as you get to the Star Trek Into Darkness, the Wrath of Khan remake, it's just like, oh, it's all.
Well, now they're
it's
kind of,
fan service and it gets very Star Trek, Star Wars.
Well, discounting that one. The first one and the third one.
The third one feels the most like a Star Trek movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels the most like Star Trek. At the end of the day, though, Star Trek is never about action. And I get to put it on film. It has to, be a little more entertaining. But I think those 80s movies still hold up in a lot of ways because the stories a lot of times are still about, they're asking important questions and it's about humanity and,
kind of Star Wars for adults, almost.
Yeah, like smart people.
Yeah.
Where,
Right.
Bud Light drinking dads like Star Wars, Star Trek is it's a completely different thing, and to bring in J.J. Abrams, which is he's basically like Michael Bay with fan service as far as like because he has a visual style that's very reminiscent to kind of like a slowed down Michael Bay,
A lot of lens flares and color and
at the end of the day, all he has is fan service, which South Park summed this up the best. I mean, look at everything he's ever made. It's all something else, pre-established property,
Mm-hmm.
Even like his original flicks, like Super 8, it's just it's E.T. and fucking Poltergeist and, it's...
Until it's not.
Yeah, it's a bunch of different movies that he likes crammed into one, which you can do effectively. Tarantino is made famous for that. But at the end of the day, he's telling original stories and he's trying it and still harkening back to the shit he loves. I hope to kind of do things like that. I love all these 80s movies, so it bleeds into my style. But at the end of the day, JJ is just doing the same shit over and over again, which he's got his hands on some DCEU stuff now. He's doing Justice League Dark.
Oh, boy.
So I think he's getting Keanu Reeves, Constantine, and Swamp Thing, and a bunch of stuff I like. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Let's get back to Mandalorian, though.
Yeah.
So we're talking about outsider influence, having kind of a healthy disconnect from the source material, which brings a maybe more grounded qualities to it. It doesn't embellish in the... liberties that the source material takes, and I'm a big advocate of that because we talk about them making a Metal Gear movie, and I think a guy who's like a Nolan or someone like that coming from the outside would be better for it. You probably disagree.
Well, we're gonna tear Nolan apart in the next episode. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, whatever.
But then again, why? If you want to do that, if you want that, like we keep talking about the Metal Gear thing, which we've talked on other podcasts about Metal Gear. We've done a whole other episodes about that. But if you want that, then take the things you like from it and tell your own story, original story. And then you don't have to deal with the source material. It's honestly fan base and these pre-established stories that are holding everything down at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. all of Hollywood is just fan bases and everything that's coming out is, Marvel, DC, whatever. It's all a pre-established fan group.
I think there's a and it's a good thing, this recent development of like the giving the fans what they want. So like dialing in on a certain character, like Boba Fett, for example. For years, people have been like, we like this guy. He's interesting.
But in the first season, me and you were like, they better not fucking bring Boba Fett into this. It's going to ruin it. It's going to be too fan service-y.
Well, and they were smart.
And they did it. They did it in the best way possible. So I have faith in Mandalorian that, because they've been skirting this line, and they've been skirting it hard of like too fan service-y J.J. Abrams shit. Yeah. But then they.
But at the same time, there's a lot of rich material to delve into there because, you know. Like I was saying with the interesting characters being in the background, like the Jedi, I could care less about because it's the same thing every time, the struggle with the Force.
We've had nine movies of those fuckers. I don't care.
They're surrounded by characters who we all have, you know, it's like, oh man, that guy looks interesting or that character's got an interesting backstory. Let's learn about him. I don't care about the Jedi anymore. We've had too many movies. It's the same thing over and over, dark side, whatever. So they're finally doing that and that's cool. It's just...
They're skirting that line. Yeah. They're getting a little too close. I mean, putting Luke Skywalker in here, we get to see him full Jedi mode. That we never got to see that. We get to see it a little bit in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And then we get to see some imaginary bubble version of it at the end of The Last Jedi, which... Last Jedi, the Rian Johnson.
Oh, right, right.
Yes, yeah, Luke's like really drinking good milk and all. And then by the end of the movie, we finally get to see a little bit of like cool, like this is what Luke Skywalker was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So what they did in this was so fucking cool. Even though he looks like shit and he looks like what he does in the Battlefront games for like PS4.
Mm.
His face is pretty goddamn distracting, but at the end of the day, it doesn't pull me out of it because I got to see Luke Skywalker fucking tear ass and be full Jedi, which we never got to see. Yeah, so like, and it made sense for the plot. It wasn't shoehorned in there to be like, ooh. Like Boba Fett, at the end of the day, for me, still feels a bit shoehorned in there.
Absolutely, because it's the guy died, you know? And they only brought him back because everybody thinks he's cool. And,
I mean, I'm glad. Because I'm glad to see his own show now.
Right.
I like the actor. I like, you know, like, so it's cool. Yeah, but they're skirting that line. My hope is now that they have 20 other fucking Disney Plus shows they're going to spin off, they keep all that shit out of this, and now we're going to focus on Mandalorians, on Mandalore, and their struggle for rebuilding their planet.
And bounty hunting.
Yeah, and what they fucking do. I think that, I mean, the show's called The Mandalorian. We need to get focus on Mandalorians.
Yeah.
And now that we've finished this little Jedi arc and they set up everything else, the hope is that this stays grounded and on Mandalorian shit. I mean, me and you had talked about doing a series. It's almost episodical. Like, every episode's a different Star Wars story.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you know, the first episode's you call it pilot because your first episode would be, you know, like... Yeah, but it's actually about a TIE fighter pilot, and like he crashes on some planet or on Kashyyyk, and then you get a whole one episode of a TIE fighter pilot surviving Kashyyyk, and you have to kind of side with this guy. You get to learn a little bit about his backstory and what he dealt with, and we get to see all these it's called Star Wars, not Jedi Wars. I don't fucking care about that. There's a war across the whole goddamn galaxy full of all interesting aliens and stories and creatures and human beings and... Yeah, so like episodical, what do you call that? Like anthology series of different Star Wars stories. But we're starting to see that a little bit. Like Mayfield, Bill Burr's character, is so cool because, you know, we got to see a little bit of, you know, the universe. And it expanded it a little bit. It made it feel bigger and realer.
Yeah. And I think they're pretty much doing that. With all these different shows that are branching off, we're kind of getting more of this universe.
And we'll get like the Rogue Squadron movie coming up and stuff. So
yeah. With the Boba Fett show, and we talked about this, I'm hoping they do, because I don't know where they're going to go with it, but I hope it's in the past. We see Boba in his prime, hopefully someone a little skinnier, because we could all tell that guy's a little bit older. So, you know, you get a stunt guy in the old suit. He looks classic. And show some of the heyday of the Empire and what he was doing.
Oh, and that would be a great way, since the point of Star Wars is fan service.
Right, yeah.
I feel like a show about a young Boba Fett, you would see him run into Darth Vader. You would see Jabba the Hutt. You'd see all this,
how he got affiliated with him.
You'd see all this cool shit, and you could tell a bunch of stories, but then he would still be going on your missions. Because now if you go older Boba Fett in Jabba's palace, that felt like the end of his story.
Yeah, that was kind of a conclusion to everything.
That felt like,
he had his redemption.
Yeah.
He took his place at the palace, whatever.
I feel like Boba Fett is done then. I feel like the Book of Boba or whatever it's called needs to be a past thing.
Yeah.
And so here's for hoping that's what they do. Because that guy voices, you know, him always easy. You know, doesn't take off the helmet very often. Cool.
Well, and that the helmet thing brings up another issue that they need to keep the helmets on.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is getting a little. Yeah.
The
having him take it off. Like, so like that episode where the sorcerer episode, which I keep sucking that movie's dick on this show. And everybody's tired of it. But that episode was about nitroglycerin and trucks going across the jungle. It's the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like somebody had seen that movie. But that was like the best episode of the whole season, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, I liked it. Yeah, the Mayfield stuff. I mean, one, I love Bill Burr, but like, I feel like that was the best episode because it did what we wanted and what we like. And it, you know, expanded upon the Star Wars. but like... What the fuck? Why did I get off on this tangent about that?
We're talking about helmets.
Oh, yeah. Him taking off the helmet for that stupid scanning thing, it shows how much he cares. I get it.
Yeah.
But then him taking it off for Grogu at the end
is very... It had less weight.
Yeah. If you would have had him keep it on, have that be Mayweather's little thing where he has to march in there and do it. Or Mayfield. I keep saying...
Mayfield, yeah.
Yeah, I keep thinking of fucking boxers.
Right.
So if he would have done it... And then, because he had his little arc with that guy anyways, you know, we see him renouncing the shit and he blows up the whole goddamn thing so he can sleep at night. You know, we got a whole arc for him. We got a better arc for that goddamn guy than anybody got in the last three Star Wars movies.
There's a lot of memes
other than fucking Kylo Ren, which I will stay true to that. He carries those. Like, the only part I care about are, like, in the last three Star Wars movies was Kylo Ren, because like his little, even though he goes full evil at the end of the first one, and then the second one he goes even further into the evil side of it, and he's like, no, blow that ship out of the sky. And then the third one they redeem his ass, but the way they did it and mirroring how he killed Han Solo and all that stuff, like, and Adam Driver is such a goddamn good actor that he fucking carries those movies, and I will rewatch them for him. I still like, I have a really nice like Kylo Ren figure on a shelf, and like, you know, I covet it. Or that's not the word, but like, I like it, and I still appreciate that character because he's cool and he goes through some shit. And so, like, but other than that, those movies are garbage. And Mayfield had a better arc in that than anybody in those other movies.
Yeah, and you know, having been in the military, just to boast Bill Burr's performance, like the way he's talking to that officer, and we've all had superiors, so it's like, dude, I don't respect you. I disagree with everything you've done. You know, that not everybody in Empire is, you know, in line with the Emperor or the overall, you know, motive or whatever.
I mean, you've talked about this for a while.
And Bill Burr sells it. Like, I feel like, yeah, like this guy, he sells the idea of him. He was a soldier and he's
a damn good actor in that episode. Yeah. I can feel that.
And then he actually lives up to his sharpshooter title or whatever, because he attacks you. You actually get to see him take a long shot, which was cool.
Yeah, it was great.
So we got way off track. We were talking about helmets. The only reason Boba Fett's as cool as he is because he never took that helmet off, and he was mysterious.
And Jango Fett was unmemorable and stupid because he took the helmet off.
Right. They need to get back to that. Keep the helmets on. I'm glad they kind of slowly...
I like the evolution of to him kind of questioning his own beliefs, and that's a lot of what the show is. And Bill Burr's character being the one who's like, bro, like, you're breaking your own rules here, and like, that guy...
Jesus.
Sorry. It's all right. That guy being the one who questioned everything and made him appreciate, you know, like, really do it.
Well, he's an appropriate figure to do it because he's not in line with his own.
The writing was so smart that it didn't bother me, because I remember first season, I was like, he better not fucking take that helmet off. And then when he did, it was for a droid. And I was like, you know what? That's good. Like, that,
Yeah.
I buy that, and that's still sweet, and I got to see Pedro Pascal's face, which I'm fine with because I like him as an actor.
Unless he has the mustache. It doesn't work for me.
I like him as an actor. But, yeah, him taking it, he should have only took it off for Grogu.
Yeah, that they should have built that up all the way to them. And even when he took it off for the droid, I still think it should have been kind of hidden. You should only been able to see, like, side of his profile, maybe his hair or whatnot. Because the helmet is the character. That's his face.
Yeah. And
they've proven that you can get a lot of emotion just out of slight head movements and chuckles. You're right. Like, he doesn't chuckle until the second season.
Did you notice that when he's sitting at the table with Bill Burr and stuff? I was watching it. I was like, why is he so weird? Like, I feel off about him.
He's so used to looking around like
so
this.
His head moves around.
That was a small detail that I didn't pick up until I was watching a review.
And yeah.
They were talking about, like, how he's so used to having the helmet, that's why he turns his whole head. I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. I didn't notice, but I remember watching it and going, why is he so weird right now?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is more than just nervous. He's being weird. And I didn't pick it up that, yeah.
He doesn't have the full range of...
Yeah, like, that was really cool. Yeah. I like that.
That's good detail, but they need to stick with the helmet.
We're losing too much mystery.
Yeah.
And mystery's...
And we talked about this, this character... slowly losing his edge over time. Like, he's getting too lighthearted. The kid...
We wanted Go-Gurt or Grogu to die.
Well, I was thinking, like, the only way to redeem this, to bring him back, that character, is to make him jaded and to kill that little kid.
Yeah.
Like, take him back to the edginess where he's just offing dudes and freezing them mercilessly. I think they could kind of get back to that in a way. What I'm hoping they do now is now
hearing him chuckle because you were saying, like, we didn't hear him chuckle till the second season when he was playing with the ball with Grogu. Yeah. Hearing him chuckle, I was just like, oh, that's not right.
Yeah, it's like Batman.
Yeah, it's like Batman telling jokes
in Justice League.
Yeah, your shitty Justice League movie.
Yeah,
that character can't do that.
So, still going on the helmets.
We got like 20 more minutes.
So the helmet is his face. And I think they need to, now that you've established, you had a point with him taking it off, the meaningfulness of it, this whole third season, I don't want to see his face again. You know, I want that helmet. That is the character. And the same thing with the Boba Fett show. Don't take it off. Don't CGI.
There is something to be said, though. I mean, now that we're thinking about it, let's speculate a little bit here, because we know that he comes from, because, like, when, what's her name? She's from the animated series, the other, the chick from Stargate,
Bo-Katan.
Yeah. Bo-Katan or whatever. Her character.
Played by Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah. So her character set up in the cartoons and stuff, trying to take back Mandalore. Cool, right? And I like that that's a big, I love that they brought her in, even though it's a pretty fancy.
And I like the potential conflict that's.
I like that that's setting up, and then she said to him, like, oh, you're from, like, that cult part where they don't take off the masks. If he keeps his mask on, he could be the guy to bridge that gap and bring all Mandalores together or something.
I don't want them to, though. I want there to be conflict.
Oh, I'm saying by the end of the season. But, like, they won't. I think he's going to be taking off his helmet a lot more now.
God damn it.
Pedro Pascal's getting too big. So...
He's going to want to have that helmet off.
Yeah. I mean, he carried that Wonder Woman movie. Well, no. Him, Steve Trevor, and Wonder Woman carried it. Well, that's a different time. But, like, I love him. He's a good actor. I love watching him. So I don't mind when I don't mind watching him. It's nothing about him that I don't want to see. It's just a disservice to the character, I think, and the origins of that character. And I like that he's had an arc, and that's the point. But he's cooler when he doesn't. And we've seen Star Wars do this thing where they starts really cool and they go down the path like they did with Jedi's and they ruin everything for you. You know when Darth Vader was the coolest? When I didn't know his whole fucking backstory and he wasn't a whiny little bitch. You know?
Yeah, and the...
Keep some goddamn mystery in your stories.
The convenience of all of this, like, somebody compared the Star Wars universe to a cul-de-sac. Like, these motherfuckers all know each other. Like, they're all related. They all cross paths. Like, it's a whole universe, but somehow Boba Fett's dad is the guy that was cloned by everybody who worked for, you know,
this guy. That stuff was like, cool. I appreciated it whenever he was like, I'm pretty sure they'll recognize my face.
Those things, because it's what they have to work with.
For the lore.
But when they first wrote Boba Fett, I guarantee there was no intention of making him.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you know?
He was played by a different guy who just died, and then he was voiced by a different guy.
Yeah. And then they go back in and redub all the, you know.
Yeah, Star Wars is fucked as a whole. Has been for a while. This is the glimmer of hope, but it's
Mandalorian, yeah.
It's creeping on the edge of getting too Star Wars-y, and I don't know, I want smarter storytelling in a child's series about wars, but at the end of the day...
So you said your favorite episode of season two, we agree it's the...
it's either the Ahsoka one the Bill Burr episode. Yeah. I think it's probably the Bill Burr episode. Yeah. The Ahsoka one's cool, and I like seeing Michael Biehn.
Because
I love seeing him in anything, but like it was cool, and yeah, that was a very good episode. I think that's my second runner. What's your worst, your least favorite?
We talked about this. Probably the which one was it we agreed on?
Bo-Katan.
Where they team up to take out that ship, and the guy that plays Bosch is the like the commander of the ship.
Yeah. So Bryce Dallas Howard directed one of the best episodes in the first season.
Yeah, with the village.
The village, and it was all like Native American actors and stuff, which is really cool to see. And like, I liked that was a really good episode. That was probably one of the better episodes of the first season. And this season, I completely forgot this episode existed until you reminded me of the plot. You're like, oh, that was it took me like 20 minutes to figure it out. Like, I remember the lizard lady. The gecko lady running off and meeting her husband. I was like, and then I remember.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I remember the dock and then Bo-Katan landing in that little fight scene. But other than that, I don't remember any of that episode. So either that or the spider episode. And I know you liked the spider episode.
I liked it, yeah.
It was such a runoff.
I thought it was tense. I was constantly on edge because the little bastard was eating all her eggs, and also that spider looked good. I thought the CG was great. It was tense when they're getting chased and they seem like they're only jogging, and I'm like, run faster, you know. The ship is constantly getting busted. I liked it. I mean, I like the episodic episodes. One of my favorite episodes, I mean, obviously it carries a lot of plot points over into the rest of the season, but in the first season is the rhino.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
I love him sitting or fixing his armor, you know, like the small human.
Who directed that episode?
I have no idea.
I know it's somebody that I know.
Was it Rick Famuyiwa? Dave Filoni? Bryce Dallas Howard? Deborah Chow?
You can actually look up per episode. It'll go 9 episodes. I'll explain it. IMDb has a great feature on TV shows where you can go and 9 episodes per season or whatever. You can click through each episode and actually
look it up.
Cool.
But yeah, the small human moments, especially with Mando, because up until that point, he was still very much just the helmet. He had some mystique about him. He was edgy. We've lost some of that, but I think we can get that back if they play it right.
Oh, this is so much different on an iPad. Never mind, I'll go back so you can look at what you had, and I'll look it up on... I won't look it up on my phone,
actually. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyhow, that was good. That is a great episode, actually. That's the first episode, right? That's the pilot.
Second.
Oh, yeah.
Pilot is when he goes into the town, shoots it up.
Okay.
Second episode.
Both of those episodes felt so Western. And, yes. I mean, me and you love Sergio Leone and shit. Yep. So, like, yeah, that fucking... And then, I mean, that's what got Bill Burr on board. And, like, you know, that's the best shit. I love the Westernness of it. And, I mean, the more they get away from Tatooine or whatever, like, the less Western-y it becomes. But at the end of the day, they've been keeping that, like... Oh, I will honorable mention the worst episode of the season. Not a terrible episode. But there's some filmmaking problems I had with it, which is the Carl Weathers directed episode, which was, you know, we have to get in this base. And it was when they started to get into that.
The cloning
shit. And I'm like,
Carl Weathers
directed that episode.
Oh, okay.
And you there's the Predator reference where him and Mando grab. And but there's also some, like, that was the episode that that guy, the PA was standing in the background. They CGI'd him out. And also fucking Gina Carano or whatever. I don't know the name of her character, honestly.
Cara Dune.
Yeah, her, she has a fight at the beginning of that episode that is one of the worst I've seen. Like, it is just so, like, it clunky. It just felt so clunky.
Which is strange because she can beat some wholesale ass in her life.
Yeah, like, she's fucking great. So,
well, I just
felt like Carl Weathers being an unexperienced, you know, action director. But there's, like, good stuff. Like, when they take those Return of the Jedi speeder bike things off the side.
That's cool.
And there's, like, a really, you cut in on their foot. It's, and, like,
yeah,
that was good. I feel like that was CG artist directing that, because they're like, no, well, we could do this. We could move the camera around here, Carl. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. You're like, you know. So, I don't know. I feel like that wasn't him, because when we see the live action, it was all really clunky.
Well, whatever.
And there was there was one shot, like, they're sitting on that speeder thing from the fucking New Hope. Like, because they ride in on almost the same speeder that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There's, like, one shot where I believe you could just see what was underneath, and they didn't fix it. Like, Ian pointed it out.
I don't notice.
It was such a quick shot that I was like, I think I saw.
So you're a film director. You notice these things. I didn't.
All right. Anyhow, that episode was pretty clunky directed, but it wasn't horrible. What really pulled me out of that whole episode was when they start pulling in, like, Snoke shit at the end.
Yeah.
And cloning and, like.
We don't want to see that shit.
We know that they were trying to get Grogu to bring back the Emperor.
Okay.
The whole point was, we need to take his blood. It's blood test. All right, he's got Metachlorian since we've canonized the prequels. So, like, all right, yeah. They're trying to get Grogu, whatever, like, to, clone the Emperor.
So, all right. So, between the two seasons, which one do you like better?
Well, that's rough. I think two. Two had more. It had more story. It never, you know, besides, like, the two things that I brought up, those two episodes that kind of irked me a little bit. Or three, I guess. But besides that, like, they never crossed the line.
Yeah.
And, like, the mask thing. Other than that, they never crossed the line of, like, bad storytelling.
Yeah.
It's always good storytelling. And I have such faith in Jon Favreau. Chef is, like, I don't know if you've... Yeah, you watched the movie Chef.
Yeah.
Chef is, like, Social Network, where it should be a thing that's not interesting.
But
that movie is directed so well, and the character's so good, and the story's so good. Like,
but I think he's going to... You know, he's Jon Favreau. He's going to distance himself from this property. He's going to leave it to people, you know? So it's going to go off in its own direction. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they keep it true to its form.
Right? It's already breaking its own form.
Well, now that
we don't know what the form is.
Now that we got the Jedi out of the way, right? We fulfilled that whole story arc of him trying to reach them, right? There's no mystery behind who they are anymore.
Because
it was just a rumor type thing in the first season, right? These people called Jedi, whatever, you know? So now they're out of the way. We can get back to what's most important, that spaghetti Western feel, hopefully.
Yeah, which I was saying earlier, like, when you get off Tatooine, we lose a little bit of that, which we went back for, two episodes of this season to Tatooine, and then other planets that looked kind of deserty, which were probably Texas, because Robert Rodriguez directed that episode.
Oh. He shoots everything in Texas.
Yeah. He's in Austin, so.
That makes sense.
I mean, I don't know. They could have went to New Mexico or Arizona.
It
looked more like
the Boba Fett episode.
Yeah, so that was Robert Rodriguez, which is a good action episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw Alita Battle Angel. It's not great, but, you know, like, it's pulled off well, and Robert Rodriguez coming from where he came from gives me a big, you know, boast of hope, because I'm like, he does Star Wars now.
Yeah.
And, like, Alita Battle Angels is huge. And, like, that guy, you know, made his first movie for $7,000. We did ours for $10,000. So it's, like, he's a big inspiration to me anyhow. Getting off on a tangent. But, I think the second season is more memorable than the first.
Well, it's definitely, like, juicier, because it's got more characters. You got Boba. You got Luke Skywalker. You know, you're figuring out some unanswered questions. But I like the first season better because it's more of a Western. Yeah. I like the episodic stuff. I love the Western, the unknown guy coming into town, the gunslinger.
And even like episodes like where they go to the Bryce Dallas Howard episode with the chicken walker. And that was the biggest the fan service got in that one was the chicken walker. Cool. That's a thing the Empire had that should be in the story.
Yeah.
And that still felt like a Western. That felt like, you know, 13th Warrior or something like that. You know, it's a simple story of like, all right, we got to defend this place and here's how we do it. It felt like Red Scorpion or, you know, like where Avatar was ripped off of or, you know, like whatever. It was just a classic story that you could read in a Western book or see in a Western movie and be like, cool. What's that Clint Eastwood movie where they paint the town red and he rapes that chick?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, whatever that movie, it felt kind of like that, where it's like, we had a, even though he's a horrible piece of shit in that movie, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all those stories could have been Western stories.
Yeah. So, third season projections, what do you hope? What do you hope for?
I have no idea. I hope it gets more into, dude, I don't even, like, obviously we like the Western side of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I'm getting kind of tired of the side quests, and that's where most of the Western stuff comes from. I feel like the third season might be headed towards, because we've seen it a little bit in the first season, like with the armor chick who builds his armor, and we see it with Bo-Katan and all that. There's kind of this Game of Thrones-ish thing going on between all the Mandalore, like, and it's all this kingdom thing. I think the third season is going to turn real Game of Thrones-ish.
Game of Thrones, which could be cool. Because
if it's knights in armor and like...
I didn't really care for Bo-Katan. I feel like it's a brewing antagonist there. The way she was looking at him when he had the sword and all that.
I don't think it's an antagonist thing. I think she's a person that's hunted. Because I've watched, since finishing Mandalorian Season 2.
I've
video essays and shit. But, like, I've seen more about her. And, like, this is something she's hunted forever. And he just, you know.
Yeah, it can sit well with her. But I like the division between the Mandalorians.
Yeah, I think that's
great. I like that he belongs to this very literalist type cult within Mandalorians who believe in the armor and always keeping the helmet on. I like the idea of them. And then the Bo-Katan's people are more contemporary. You know, they interpret it Mandalorian law more, you know, loosely.
And she's traveled the galaxy.
And I like, honestly, Boba Fett's place and all that, and that it's like, no, he's not Mandalorian, but his father was, like, that is...
He wasn't.
Well, he said he's a foundling.
Well, so yeah. But he wasn't, because in that worst goddamn Attack of the Clones, he takes off his helmet and he's sitting there.
Yeah, but nobody does.
Shit.
Nobody.
I'm saying he takes off his helmet in that movie.
Yeah, like, so what? Sometimes. Yeah, but we already established that that's only a small sect, right?
Yeah, and so I like how they canonized him as sort of a Mandalorian. He's basically like, no, we helped you out in this war, so he's still not a Mandalorian.
Whatever. His dad, it belongs to him, that armor.
Yeah, and I like that.
And it, you know, it's like, oh, you're not worthy of it. Like, fuck you. It's mine, you know? Yeah. I'll whoop your ass. Like, I like that idea, you know? It's because beforehand, it was almost like a stolen valor thing. Because before we were introduced to this idea of there being different belief structures and severity of belief, you know? It was like, you're either Mandalorian all the way or you're a poser piece of shit. Like, take that shit off. Just like a guy wearing, you know, an SF patch or something like that.
And it's
like, did you actually go through selection? No. You know? But then Bo-Katan and all them kind of challenge that. And it's like, well, it's kind of more, you know, malleable than what I thought. And Mando is kind of the purest.
It's kind of like religion.
Well, Mando's like the purest of Mandalorians, and he has the sword now, and I like that idea.
Oh, he's not really anymore, though, and that's the issue.
How so?
He's taken his helmet off several times.
Yeah, but we already know that that's not...
He's questioning his own beliefs.
Right, I'm but saying. We know that that's not... That is not the way.
Well, yeah, he is the purest... yeah, I guess you're right, because he's fresh into this, and he's kind of seeing the world for the first time. He's not full...
Like, he's not full, you know... Yeah. Whatever that religious sect, and he's not with Bo-Katan. He's
that's what I'm saying. He can kind of bring the two sides together, even though I don't think there's much sides of.
So what I hope to see with the third season is conflict between them. I hope he loses the armor because he's too invincible. Yeah. He needs to get stripped of that, go back to his old stuff, which had a lot of character to it, I think. Him replacing it and fixing it. I liked that stuff, as opposed to just he's a bullet magnet that never gets hurt. We saw a little bit of that when he goes to the Stormtrooper armor and he's like trying to deflect, you know, and he's like, bah! You know, because like, it's not working. But they need to humanize him, get him gritty again. And
yeah, he's getting a little too OP.
Yeah, exactly. And have some conflict there between the Mandalorians. There's some unanswered questions, like the armor, where, what happened to her, all the guys that ditched their armor, what happened to all them. So there's things that I want to explore.
Well, now that he has taken off, and now that he's opening up to it, he can bring all those guys back.
Right, yeah. It's like, you're still Mandalorians. Just because you took your helmet off doesn't mean you've lost that, you know? Yeah. That could be a big part of that.
Oh, that would be nice, actually. That'd be like a real...
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because remember, they were all like kind of shit-talking him in the first season,
too. Right, yeah. Like trying to rip it off, and yeah, which was cool. So, yeah. Hopefully a lot more of that.
We can end this anytime. I think that's a good place. How far are we into this? Yeah. All right. Cool.
So I'd say let's conclude with where the state of Star Wars, what we like, what we don't like. I mean, we've already kind of said we hate most of Star Wars. I do.
I think hate is a strong word. I think
don't care for it.
For as much credit. No. It's just when somebody – it's the problem with, like, Black Panther, for instance. When people put a movie on this best picture level, then I have to look at it on a best picture level.
Objectively, yeah. Oh, okay.
Because that got nominated for best picture at the Oscars.
Which is insane.
And that movie's kind of bad. Like, you know,
I thought it was crap.
Special effects and the story's just Lion King. You know, whatever. It's all over the internet what the problems of that movie. But, like, But yeah, when you raise a movie, it's the same thing with Avatar. I wouldn't give a shit about Avatar. I'd be like, oh, that's a pretty cool movie, right? You know, there's some cool stuff in there. It's entertaining. But it was the fact that it got $2 billion and the highest grossing and everybody kissed its ass and it got nominated for Best Picture. Then it gets elevated to that level. And yeah. Now I have to look at it at that level and go, no, Avatar's a piece of shit movie.
It's Dances with Wolves with cat people.
Yeah. So... Yeah. Star Wars is the same thing. It could be an entertaining franchise. Like I don't give Fast and the Furious that much shit. Because at the end of the day, Fast and the Furious has never tried.
It knows what it is.
It's a bunch of dumb, stupid movies, right? In entertaining, well pulled off, sure, whatever, you know. It has never tried to be outside it, and there's not this fan craze for it. Star Wars is held as this high pop culture regard, and people act like these are the best films ever made. It's just like, no, they're pretty poorly made films, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Or they have really bad writing problems and stuff. But, like, at the end of the day, you know, yeah, so.
Well, and they're very influential.
Yeah, and that's – if you get this much praise, you know, you have to be looking at these things critically.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking dogging on George Lucas, but at the end of the day, he did construct this universe that has become very iconic. You know, one of the most, if not the most iconic villains of all time, a world with rules that have become, you know – the Force and, you know, all these different concepts.
No, it's the biggest pop culture thing of all time. Yeah. I mean, I don't take that away from it, but at the same time, like...
But having said that, Mandalorian is the best thing to come out of it, I think.
No, Empire Strikes Back is...
I don't... Nah, fuck it. Mandalorian.
I struggle. I think Empire Strikes Back is fucking...
Yeah, it's cool, but,
it's,
you know...
It's a goddamn perfect movie.
Mandalorian, again, just who I am. I've always been more interested with the Stormtroopers, with Boba Fett. With
his
background, you know. Those are the characters I wanted to hear.
At the end of the day, this is Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care about Jedi.
Yeah.
I want to see everybody else. Like, it's galaxies of people fighting, you know. Like, yeah, let's show. Yeah. All right, cool. Then we'll just end it there. You've been Brad Rayland, and I've been Aaron Bratcher, and this has been the Ask Backwards Podcast. Signing out.
Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audience. Your hosts, Katie Caspi and Aaron Bratcher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot, you moron, you stupid bitch.